Today, Justin Williams, the new head golf professional at Poppy Hills.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, you'll get inside information on how to lower your scores through strategy and course management. We'll ask course pros, designers, and architects to reveal their secrets in an effort to improve your game. If you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, subscribe to the Golf Smarter podcast. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome, and thanks for... Welcome and thanks for joining us. Obviously, I have a summertime cold, so I promise not to cough in your ear. And I'll do my very best to keep this brief. Stay tuned to the end of the show. We're going to have the announcement today of our winner of our Sky Caddy. But luckily for me, a few weeks ago at the Saga event at Poppy Hills in Pebble Beach, I had a sit-down with the brand-new head golf professional, Justin Williams. And when the conversation begins... let's just ask him how long he's been there.
I've been doing it for 17 whole days.
Head golf professional.
Yes, sir.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's hopefully, I hope you think and your wife thinks, this is your last job.
I'm hoping. I mean, it's my first head professional job, and I'm hoping it's my last one.
So oh, man, how exciting.
To be at a facility like this, and at the age I am, I'm 30 years old, and to be where I'm at, working for the people I'm working for, and having the opportunity to, you know, host a PGA Tour event and the California State Amateur next week. I mean, it's you know, kind of a dream come true, especially being back home in California. So
you're going to have your hands full?
Yeah, a little bit. But we do have the NCGA next door that, you know, for the most part, you know, handles that whole event next week. And we're just kind of here as a bystander and kind of a help out. So, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So
how familiar are you with this course?
You know, I'm actually... surprised the first couple weeks I've been out here, these guys have drugged me out there and played it, you know, a good couple times. So I've been out there a few times and played the golf course, and right off the bat I realized the reputation it had and where it came from. I mean, it's a good challenge for many different reasons. So it's you know, it's a shot maker's golf course. I don't know if there's a straight hole out there. It's a lot of left to rights, right to lefts off the tee. You don't see the greens from the tee on a lot of holes, which is kind of a unique feature. A lot of bunkering, a lot of uneven lies out in the fairway, and obviously the trees, wall-to-wall trees on both sides of every hole. So it's an intimidating golf course, but you know, it's a lot of fun, and it's a rewarding round of golf if you go out and you play it well.
So if you had to give the elevator pitch of what is, give me an overview of your golf course, what would you have to say?
I would say that Robert Trent Jones is probably pretty proud of this golf course. It is, every year during the AT&T, we have two or three holes that are the toughest holes, not during just the AT&T, but during the entire year on the PGA Tour. A par four and a par three that are that rank up as the toughest holes. So, you know, the people that go out and play it on a day-to-day basis know that going out, and I think it's kind of an intimidating course, but once they get out there, you know, everybody that comes in afterwards, you know, enjoys it quite a bit. I think it's, it kind of reminds me of some courses back in the Midwest, and you know, you can go over and play some other courses here on the peninsula that are similar to it. Spyglass, you know, when you get towards the back nine, it's a lot of tree line fairways, a lot of bunkering, and a lot of lefts and rights, a lot of dog legs. But, you know, this golf course just doesn't let up on you. And I think that's probably the easiest way to say it. There isn't a stretch of holes out there that you kind of get a breather. It's just kind of one after another from the first hole, which I think was the hardest hole of all 18 the last couple of years. Just a good, solid dogleg right par four, good length, and the fairway is undulating. And then you get to the green, and that's no picnic either. So, you know, the second hole is a good, solid par three, and then he just comes right back at you with a tough par four, and it's just one right after another. So
why do you just say that it reminds you of a Midwest course?
Well, you know, being in the desert the last 3 years, playing desert-style golf, and then coming out here and stepping up on the tee out here, I mean, it was just a fresh feeling, you know, seeing wall-to-wall grass and these tree-lined fairways. And, you know, I've played some golf in Iowa and you know, in the Midwest there in Minnesota and some places that, you know, just the same kind of feeling, these big trees and, you know, it's just kind of a good feeling standing on that first tee out there. So
Is that your phone? Do you need to answer that?
No, not at all.
Thank you. And to our listeners, that's his phone ringing. As we usually do our interviews over the phone, but being in somebody's office is different. Do you see this as being a typical Robert Trent Jones type course?
I think so. You know, the few that I've played and talking with other folks, talking with Mr. Treadway, I think that, you know, this would be a course that people would recognize as a Robert Trent Jones course. So, but you know, it's a beauty. I mean, I've played a couple others on the peninsula, and you know, we have a lot of groups that come out here and they'll play 4 or 5 rounds of golf in a week. They'll play Pebble, they'll play Spyglass, and they always come in here after and they say, you know, this was a fun treat. You know, it's a little different than the other ones, and it's you know, that kind of sets us out a little bit from the other courses. So.
You're actually a perfect subject to be interviewed for this program, because we always talk about playing a course that you've never played before.
Sure.
How do you approach a course, or how do you attack a course?
If right.
either word, some people get offended by the word attack on
right.
a golf course.
Right.
So how would you approach a course that you've never played before? And here you are, a pro,
sure.
a golf professional, playing a couple times. So help us out. Give us some tips on what you do to go after a new course and
sure.
how to score well but golf smarter to
sure.
to strategically play it.
I would say, you know, myself, I don't beat it out there as far as some of these guys nowadays that just hit it as far down as they can and then wedge it up there. So I approach a golf course, especially a course I've never played, you know, with kind of a subtle aggression maybe. You know, I stand on the tee on these par fours that are 440, 450. And, you know, I'm just thinking, get it in the fairway somewhere, because out here, the frustration starts and sets in when you start hitting it a little left, a little right, you get it in the trees, and then you try and be aggressive out of the trees, and all of a sudden you're writing down sixes and sevens on your cards every hole. So this course can be attacked if you're in the fairway. The par fives aren't super long. I would say 4 of the 5 are reachable if you're playing the correct set of tee boxes. So the par fives are definitely something that you can attack. The par fours, there's a good mix of short and long ones, and the par threes are pretty tough. So, you know, I would say standing on each tee box, you just kind of have to assess the situation. If you're out there and you play a draw, there's going to be 5 or 6 holes out there that require a fade. So those aren't probably the holes that you're going to try and step up and attack. So those might be the ones you might want to consider, maybe a little 3-wood off the tee, or, you know, just something to place it out there. But, you know, this is one of those courses where you kind of play it from the green backwards. You know, a lot of courses you go out and you just hammer it down the fairway and go find it. And you know, for the most part, you're probably going to have a shot in. But out here, you kind of have to think, all right, well, if I cut the corner, you know, I'll be in good shape. But if I don't cut the corner, you know, now I'm blocked out and I don't have a shot at the green. So this course, you know, there's a couple holes out there where if you hit it in the wrong spot off the tee, even if you hit it solid, you might not be able to reach the green. Just because of the design of the holes. So, you know, it's one of those where, you know, it does help to kind of look and see which way the hole's going and maybe play to the left side of the fairway with a little shorter club to give you that angle into the green. So,
yeah, it sounds like a kind of course that would benefit from a tee tour video.
Oh,
that,
of course.
You know,
yeah.
Let your players see
mm-hmm.
it beforehand.
Sure.
So how do you attack blind shots? Give me your tip. What do you do when you have off the tee, you don't see where you're trying to
right.
land the ball. You don't have many markers to, because you're not familiar with the course. You
right.
don't help us.
I would say, you know, you can stand on, well, the good thing about the golf course is the carts have GPS, and that's a new feature that they've started to at least give you an idea of which way the hole's going. And for the most part, you can stand on each hole out here and you're going to know if it's a dog leg left or a dog leg right.
Sure.
So from there, my biggest advice or my biggest tip would be to, you know, aim at something small, because just aiming out into the fairway on the left side of the fairway isn't necessarily going to get your ball out there. So, you know, I'm a big proponent of when you're standing on the range, you should be aiming at something. The same thing out on the golf course. You know, if you're out there hitting a ball on the range and you're just, you know, grooving your swing and yeah, this feels good. But you know, if you're not aiming at anything, it's, you know, you might go out on the course and hit it all over the map and wonder why. You might be hitting it solid, but, you know, so you have to get out on the range at the beginning of your round and see which way is the ball's going. You know, if you're, you know, used to playing a draw and all of a sudden there's a little fade that's coming out, make that your ball flight when you go out and, you know, aim down the left side of the fairway and take that side out of play, you know, so there's, You know, there's certain ways to go about it, but I would say, you know, aiming small out on the golf course is a big factor in keeping it in play out here, because if you hit a couple bad tee shots, it kind of gets in your brain, and you know, you're going to have trouble getting that out of your brain out here for sure.
I'm curious, do you think that when you're going out onto the range, there's a difference between warming up for a round and practicing?
Yes, I think practice is done, you know, on a day you're not playing. Warming up is simply stretching, you know, which is huge as well, especially out here with this cold.
You're 30. What do you know from stretching?
I'm telling you, Advil's my biggest friend right now, you know, especially when you go straight out of the golf shop, straight to the tee. But definitely stretching and warming up, just like you said, warming up and practicing are, I believe, are two different things. So you shouldn't go out to the range on a day you're playing with the idea of I'm going to work on something with my swing. You know, you're kind of going out there to get a feel for it, maybe get a little distance idea, and you know, see which way the ball's going. But if you know, there's something that you feel you need to work on, that should be done on a day when you're not playing.
All right, we're going to take a short break here,
okay,
and then come back. I'll ask you some more questions about advice that you can give us to help play a course like the ones out here in the Monterey Peninsula and the Pebble Beach area.
As we make the turn, we want you to know that we're taking requests. If you'd like us to feature a specific course on Golf Smarter, our email address is golfsmarter@ttour.com. That's golfsmarter, one word, @TEETOUR.com. Whether you're planning a golf vacation, playing in an upcoming tournament, or have a favorite course for which you have a question, please let us know and we'll do a show just for you. Again, here's your host for Golf Smarter, Fred Green.
We're back with Justin Williams, who's the head golf professional, the new head golf professional at the Poppy Hills Golf Course in Pebble Beach, California. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Not a bad place to hang your hat.
All right, now let's get back to work.
All right.
For a course like this, it's not a flat course.
Correct.
There's a lot of things here.
Mm-hmm.
When you're practicing, knowing that you're going to come out to Poppy Hills,
mm-hmm,
what club should you be practicing with a lot that you're going to need to have in your bag for this course?
I would say if you feel like your short irons are a strong suit, you should feel pretty good coming out here, because you are going to have some holes out there where you find your ball off the tee in the trees. You're going to have to play safe and punch out, which is going to leave you anywhere from, you know, 100 yards or in. So I think that your wedge play is going to be big out here. Also on the par fives, you know, if you hit two good shots up there, you're going to be within, you know, 100 yards of the green. So your scoring shots, like most golf courses, are going to be your short irons. But I think it's exceptionally more important out here, just with the golf course and the design of it, that even if you do hit a good shot off the tee, yeah, it might roll across into the trees. You might have a little tough shot getting to the green. So you play it safe, get it up there to where you have a chance of, you know, chipping up and making a par. Or on the par fives, like I said, you know, you're there in two and you have a good scoring opportunity to get one close. So our range is a unique range. It's kind of a flat tee box, and then it kind of dips down. So it is hard to, you know, see some shorter shots. But we do have a couple flags out there that are about 50, 60 yards. So I would say half the balls you hit should be geared towards hitting, you know, at that flag. Hit some drivers, hit some middle irons to kind of warm up, but, you know, really work on those short shots, because you want to get your distance control out there. The one thing I've noticed just in the short time I've been here is how much farther the ball went where I live than when I'm here now. The ball just doesn't go anywhere out here.
As compared to Arizona?
Yeah.
Well,
of course. But I didn't really realize it until, you know, I played a couple rounds out here, not just here, but some of the other courses. And I don't know if guys that walking in off the street on a vacation from somewhere, if this is their first round of golf, they might stand on the second hole, which is probably about 160 yards, and they grab their 160 yard club and it comes up, you know, 20 yards short. So, you know, I think distance control is a pretty big element out here as well. Because
is it coming up short because of wind, or is it because
it's just
elevated?
Because of the air, the elevation, the air. You're pretty close to sea level here. You know, in Arizona where I was from, the air is thin. It's a, you know, it's a dry climate.
Oh, so your 160-yard club in Arizona and your 160-yard mm-hmm. in Pebble Beach are two completely
I'm
different
probably
clubs.
A club shorter here than I was in Arizona. And that mm-hmm. probably goes for the most part for everybody else, I would think. You know, you have a day like this morning where it was real foggy, it might even go a little shorter. You know, mm-hmm. it's just that thick air, you know, it's like pea soup up there, you know, sometimes. So that does come into play. So you really have to concentrate on hitting it solid, and it doesn't always hurt to take one extra club. while you're out here. So,
on your wedge shots, you want to get the ball up in the air and have it have a soft landing mm-hmm. versus a bump and run
yes.
on this kind of course.
I would think so. And the other big difference is, you know, the Poana greens out here versus bent grass in a lot of the different areas in the country. I grew up playing bent grass greens. The last 3 years I've been playing golf in Scottsdale. Most of the greens out there are bent. There are some Poa greens. A course I worked at in San Diego had one course was bent and one was Poa, so it was kind of a unique situation. But Poa greens grow pretty quick from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. They tend to get a little bumpy towards the end of the day. So that does require a little different you know, thought process when you're out there.
How can the layman know the difference just by walking out on the golf course?
Types
of grass?
I would say they would probably have to ask. And anybody, okay. if they walk into a golf shop, they're going to be able to tell you, you know, what kind of greens you have out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, hitting a couple putts on the practice green, or even if you don't know the kind of grass that's on it, you'll be able to get an idea. Poa is real sticky. Bent grass is almost like, you know, putting on linoleum if they have them nice and cut tight. You know, they're like the course they're playing this week, Wingfoot. I mean, they've probably got them rolling about a 12. But those are Poa. And we can get our greens that fast, too. But with the design of the golf course and with it being a resort, we don't want them that fast because, you know, the pace of play will slow down and it kind of becomes a death march out there. So we want to keep them about 9 or 10, which is still, you know, normal. But they're still fun to putt because there are some undulations out there that can get tricky, even if they are, you know, 9 or 10 on the stint meter. So,
okay, so we're going to go back half beat here
yeah.
and talk about that your lob shots and your wedge shots,
sure.
getting them up in the air. Give me one of your favorite drills for your lob shot.
One of my favorite drills, I would say. It might sound a little scary, but if you go out on the range, any driving range is probably going to have a bench or two out there. So you can take one of those benches and, you know, sit it out in front of you and practice with your 7-iron kind of chipping underneath the bench and then with your lob shots trying to lob it over the bench. So it's about
how far
the same
in front of you should the bench be?
Well, you can put it out a little. It just kind of gives you the thought process of, okay, I got to get this up in the air. And there's other things you can sit in front of. You know, you put a trash can out there or anything, just something, you know, obviously you don't want it coming back and bouncing back at you, but a bench is,
oh, why
you know,
not?
Well, of course, first time you do that, you know, you're going to get it up in the air next time. But, you know, just something out there to kind of give you a visual, your golf bag, you know, I've seen guys, you know, take their stand bag and sit it out in front of them and you know, just concentrate on, you know, getting that ball up in the air. Whereas on a chip shot, you know, you're trying to keep that ball closer to the ground. And the greens out here, for the most part, there's a little area that, you know, there isn't a lot of bunkering right in the front of the greens. It's more kind of the left and to the right. And there's some areas that you can get the ball, you know, on the ground and running up to the green, too. So there's a lot of options out here. Some courses don't provide you with a lot of options. But there's a few options out here for you, whichever shot you'd like to play. You know, the golf course, for the most part, is usually, I would say it's on the softer side than the firmer side. So a lot of times keeping the ball, you know, a little closer to the ground is going to be a better play than trying to hit lob shots out there with the softer conditions and, you know, a better chance of hitting it a little heavier.
And that's why you talked about the punch out.
Right, exactly.
So give us a drill about how to help our punch out shot.
If you have the opportunity of getting just a golf shaft or a pen or anything that you can hold in your hand and kind of use it as an extension of the golf shaft that you're using. And what you're really trying to do is keep that forward motion going with if you're a right-handed golfer, with your left hand going forward. And if you do break down, that shaft or that pencil is going to hit you in the wrist, and you know, you're going to know that you're kind of coming forward and flipping through with your right hand. So it just kind of keeps you, you know, more like a putting stroke. You know, with a chip shot, a 8-iron, 7-iron, 6-iron, you're really trying to, you know, almost think of it as like a putting stroke, because the loft of the club is what's going to get the ball going. What you're really trying to do is just barely get it off the ground. You just want to kind of get it through that first cut and then get it rolling forward on the putting green. So
the goal here in this drill is to not break your wrist?
Exactly. Yeah, and you want to keep that, you know, that left hand is really what's on there. That's what's driving that club through. So, you know, just kind of choke up on the grip a little bit and really just keep a nice firm, you know, a short backstroke. I think a lot of times people get too long with the backswing, and all of a sudden they come down to the ball and they think, boy, this is going to go too far, and they kind of decelerate and now you come up with a shot that's either going to go flying across the green or it's going to end up short. So,
and where should you be positioning the ball in your stance?
I always like to keep it right in the center of the stance. I mean, if you get it too far back, too far forward, you know, that kind of creeps in the back of your mind. So keep it forward with those, with the chip shots, with the little punch shots. You might want to move it maybe a ball back, and with the lob shot, maybe a ball forward. So just try and keep that simple.
Awesome. Well, I know that you said you've only been here 17 days.
Right.
Your wife is arriving in town any second, so you've got to run. And I really want to, I'm going to keep this interview short. You're lucky, because I usually just bend ears here. So I want to thank you so much.
Thank you.
I want to wish you all the best of luck.
I appreciate it.
So thanks again. And maybe we'll do this again when you have some more time. We'll sit down
and talk
some more, or we'll do it over the phone.
Yeah.
And you'll be more familiar with the course. You can give us a shot-by-shot guide on how to play the course.
Sure.
That'd
Sounds
be awesome.
Good.
Justin, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good morning, Capital Associates.
Tom.
Yes.
Fred Green.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Good, good.
Want to pick a winner?
Yes.
Here's what we're going to do. I have a little thing I wrote here. Tom, thanks for joining us again. We're now going to have our drawing for the Sky Caddy handheld GPS rangefinder, courtesy of Sky Golf. Thank you very much.
More than welcome.
Now, before we pick a name, just to be legit about this, we've not discussed any of these entries, correct?
Absolutely not.
All right. Since we don't want to pick a name based on the order that they arrived, I've taken all the entries and sorted them alphabetically by city. So what I want you to do is pick a number between 1 and 56, which is the number of entries we received, and that lucky golfer will be our winner. Any questions?
No.
All right. Pick a number between, and it could be 1, it could be 56. It's up to you. Go.
I'm going to pick 41, because that's the number of years I've been a PGA golf professional.
And that will be Greg Wagstaff of Salt Lake City, Utah.
Great.
Congratulations, Greg.
Yeah, Greg, that's great. I hope you'll enjoy your Sky Caddy and have a lot of fun with it and improve your game.
Okay, I know it was corny, but I loved it. I'm sick. Leave me alone. Thanks so much for joining us this week. And we got an interesting show. I've already recorded next week's show, too. It's a good interview with a guy who has 4 golf academies. That's what we're headed toward, aren't we? Golf Smarter Golf Academy. We're going to lower your scores yet. Thanks for joining us. I'm Fred Green.